Good to see you all this morning. Good to be here. We had been scheduled to start into 2 Corinthians, and after finalizing the study for the sermon today, realized that it was necessary, unless we do two parts, one this week and one next week, that we need more time. I generally, if I have 4 slides, I do pretty good on time. If I have lots of scripture in those slides, if there's diagrams and things or references, maybe 8 slides. I have 40 slides for today for the topic. Some of them will not take very long. Others will take longer. If you remember when we had the sermons on masonry, it was necessary to put up some pages of text that showed where they stood and what they taught, what they believed, so that you could see the thrust, you could get the thrust of what their teaching is, and not just me tell you or summarize what they're saying, and then you're taking my word for it. So we put that up. We have to do that today. We have to do that today. The topic is a, and so that being said, with that much, I sent out text this morning to some of you, and some of you relayed that to others, and I've asked a few others about using the time for Bible study this morning as well as worship, and we'll cover all of that topic. So we get that done in today.
Good.
It's good to see you all. Good to be here. The topic is this, and I was asked to do this sermon, and I think it's a good topic, and that is a Christian's responsibility in voting. I told you that I know that this is, I was cautioned, I guess, in regard to the topic, and I guess the caution is necessary. We could be reckless with the pulpit and preach an agenda as opposed to what God would have us to do. My objective here this morning is to glorify God and not to give you my opinion. I said last week that I would seek to refrain from naming any particular candidates or giving you my opinion, because I'm going to be the one doing the talking. You don't have opportunity to interject. And that'll be the format for today. I know maybe it'd be better in Bible study format, but I'll be lecturing, I guess, or preaching to you today. But the issue is we do have to talk about these things and think about our place in the world and how we live as Christians. That being said, when we think about voting and politics, you know, often you hear people that do not want to talk about things. I think we can look at one another as adults, right? There are some in here that aren't adults yet, but they need to hear these things. I'm talking about the younger kids. We can look at one another as adults, and we can talk about these things, and we don't have to have a chip on our shoulder. And no, I don't have to browbeat you with my ideas, and nor you with me with yours. But we can study these things. But often politics is like, well, if you're going to talk in casual conversation, you don't want to say anything about politics or what? Or religion. You know where the safe topics are? You need to stick to these two things, and that is your health and the weather, and then you won't get yourself in trouble. You won't get yourself in trouble. Just stick to the health, your health and and the weather, and you'll be fine.
You'll bet.
So when we think about this, it's almost like the song that Hank Williams sang, Mind Your Own Business. He says, if the wife and I start fussing, brother, that's our right, because me and that sweet woman have got a license to fight. Why don't you mind your own business? And then he goes on to say, if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine. And that's kind of where we are in politics. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It seems strange to me that we would wish to be hush-hush on right and wrong.
There you go.
Why would we want to be hush-hush on right and wrong? One man, Voltaire, and I don't really know who he was, but he's right on this topic. He says, all sects are different because they come from men. Morality everywhere is the same because it comes from God.
Amen.
Morality everywhere is the same, or at least it should be. Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And one way we might do nothing is to be hush-hush. Let's just talk about the weather and about our health and everything's fine. We'll leave that other stuff because you know you need to mind your own business. Because then you're not minding mine. And I don't want anybody in my business. Another man said, evil unchecked grows. evil tolerated poisons the whole system. Now, that was a man from India. He was prime minister in India, Nehru. I believe you'd pronounce his name, N-E-H-R-U. But that sounds to me like Bible teaching. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Same principle he's talking about there. So why would we want to be hush-hush about right and wrong? If it's right, fine. Be sure you're right and then go ahead. If it's wrong, then stay away from it. Certainly we recognize we can't be closed-mouthed when it comes to the Word of God. For Jude tells us, and it hadn't been that long since we studied the book of Jude, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's a standing up for. I realize when we're talking about the Word of God and contending for the Word of God, we're not talking about putting up our dukes. We're not talking about putting on the boxing gloves. Verbally, maybe. But it can be done respectfully and not with pride. We can stand up for the Word of God. And so also when I mentioned, I said I won't call or I'll refrain from calling particular individuals' names as far as candidates go, and I'll refrain from giving you my opinion. In fact, last night I was typing on one slide, and at the bottom, you know what I wanted to give you? My opinion. And so as I read back over that, I thought, you know what? That's what I didn't say I'd do that. I said I wouldn't do that, so I took that out. So I'm going to refrain from doing so, and we'll try to. We know from a standpoint of individuals, whether you pick one side or the other, whoever they be, we know that politicians generally aren't trusted. In fact, I told the joke last time when we were talking about introducing this lesson, a Christian's responsibility in voting. How do you know when a politician is lying? Look, see if his lips are moving. And that'd be whether it's a him or a her, whether they're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or Green Party. And that's just a joke. And I know that all politicians aren't bad. I get that. I'm not so naive to understand that some politicians have good ideas when they get into politics, and then they recognize that the machine in which they're functioning is pressuring them on all sides to sway one way or another. And then what they'd like to accomplish, they find out not to be possible, and they show themselves then they appear to be a liar or just to be a politician, right? But that's the system. We know that politicians, lawyers, are on the same level with used car salesmen. And not all used car salesmen are bad. I get that. Well, I told you about this picture that I saw once upon a time. This is of a law firm. I don't know if this was just made up or really exists. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Well, yeah, probably he does, if he's a lawyer. And that's just a stereotype. But the fact of the matter is, this is where we find ourselves. Tuesday, November the 8th, 2016. Unless you've already voted by mail or early voting, we're going to have to ask ourselves what policies, agendas, opinions, and laws will I promote? How am I going to vote? Down here, you've got the Democrats, the Republicans, this is the Green Party, this is the Libertarian symbol. Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, Libertarian symbol. Now, that's all introduction. First point is this. Someone says, well, how can you even justify talking about politics from the pulpit? Well, God will settle that, right? Before we go any further. Doesn't the Word of God teach us to live like God instructs? To act like God teaches us, to think, to dress, to conduct our personal affairs as the Word of God teaches us, to conduct our business dealings, all of those things to be in accordance with the Word of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, Philippians 1:27. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're to be salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and place it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, 13, 16. Those in Philippi were taught that they were to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now, I agree that all those passages, they teach much concerning our relationship with God as an individual and how we serve Him as an individual, as well as how we function as a congregation. All of those things are there. But this is one thing we do glean from all of those passages and many more. That all things, whether as we live as an individual or as we function as a congregation, must be in accordance with the will of God. Now, I acknowledge, and you know, the Bible doesn't say a thing about Republicans or Democrats, does it? Doesn't say a thing. I was listening one time to one of Brother Foy Wallace Jr.'s sermons, and he was speaking in reference to the Lord. And the Lord here in Matthew 11 and verse 19 was speaking of what they said of Him. That is, the Jews that disapproved of Him, what they said of Him. He says what they speak of Him. Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And Brother Wallace, as I remember, he says, now that doesn't have anything to do with politics. Unless publicans and sinners meant Republicans and Democrats. And he kind of laughed and said, well, anyway, and went on. But no, publicans does not mean Republicans, nor is sinners referring to Democrats there. It's just a joke. And that'll be the last of them. In all seriousness, if we're to live like Christians, shouldn't we also vote like Christians? If we're to live like Christians, and all those previous passages teach us such, shouldn't we vote like Christians? And why should we be hush-hush about it? What have we got to hide? What does it matter if somebody knows the way you voted? What does it matter? I don't have anything to hide in my tax returns. I guess you could see my tax returns if you needed to see those. The men decided, you know what, Mike, we really want to find out if we're the only ones supporting you, and you are, besides Winsboro ISD, but they're not supporting me to preach. I don't have anything to hide there. Why be hush-hush about whom we vote, for whom we vote? The apostle says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We studied last week, talked about the sermon of this title, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Jesus says, this is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. So, how can you justify talking about politics from the pulpit? Because the Word of God teaches me that in all things that I do, which would imply voting as well, I need to do so with God in mind. I need to do so with God in mind. And so that's what we seek to do today. I'm not going to ask you who you voted for. I'm not going to ask today who you plan to vote for. Just raise your hand. Tell me who you're going to vote for. And let's put everybody on this side and everybody on this side. No, that's not what we're talking about. But we need to vote with God in mind. And that's what we want to establish today. So, the next point that we want to look at the next point that we want to look at is this, and that is, what are the party platforms? What are the party platforms? I'm going to put some more slides up there as we go in a minute. What are the party platforms? Here's one of them. I've made some notes on it. You can print it online. I downloaded it to my computer and printed it online. There are 55 pages here, 51, excuse me, pages. Democratic 2016 Democratic Party platform. So I've been through that one. Republican Party platform, 2016, 55 pages there. Libertarian Party platform, they're pretty succinct. They've got about, well, this is front to back, so about 8 pages. Been through that one. Now, the Green Party, you better settle in if you're going to read over the Green Party. I hadn't read through all of it. I read to those things that were germane for the lesson today, important for the lesson today. And that is on social justice. There's a bunch. You go, you search the Green Party platform, and there's a whole table of contents. And you click on one of them, you get to read as much as you want to read. Until you're not blue in the face, green in the face, I guess. But anyway, on social justice, and so I've been through that, and we're going to point out some things from this. There's more that we could read about them. So what are the party platforms? Now, you might say, well, you know what? I'm not dedicated to a party. Okay, that may be so. I'm not necessarily dedicated to a party either. I'm dedicated to God. And when I go to the polls, I know I better have God in mind when I vote. So someone says, well, you know what? I'm not dedicated to a party. Well, when you vote for a particular individual, you're going to have to pick somebody, aren't you? I suppose you could write in whomever you choose. As I saw a sign going into equipment last election cycle, and a man on the way into equipment on the right side of the road as you go south, he said, Willie Nelson for president. So I guess you could write in Willie Nelson if you wanted to. And maybe you, I don't know what party he stands for. Don't know why you want to do that, but that fellow thought that'd be good. But when you vote for a person, you're going to be voting for a party. That's just the way it is, whether you like it or not. And thus, what are the platforms? What are the platforms that stand for? You also need to recognize, as I mentioned earlier, the individual for whom you vote, they're going to be pressured on all sides by the political machine in Washington, whether it be from the Democrats, from the Republicans, from the Libertarians, from the Green Party. I was going over these things again this morning and decided, you know what, I need to verify. We're going to talk about 4 parties today. But there are listed about 28 parties for 2016. Even one that is legalized marijuana now party. And you can be part of that if you thought you wanted to be part of that, and I know you don't. About 28 parties, we're going to talk about 4. And 2 of which, Republican Party and Democrat Party, you recognize those are really the only 2 that have a viable chance of winning. You might say, well, I'm going to vote for the Green Party. I'm going to vote for the Libertarian Party. That's fine. You choose to do so. Keep God in mind first. And I believe we'll have that in mind when we get done with the lesson, Lord willing, after worship. But probably either the Democrats or the Republicans are going to win. One or the other. So really just 2 to look at. So you might not be dedicated to a party, and maybe you shouldn't be to a party. You ought to be dedicated to God. But when you vote for that person, you're going to vote for that party. Because that's who they represent. So let's think about that in regard to something else. Let's look at a parallel. Suppose we were to become discontent with a local church. We're frustrated with the congregation of which we're a member. We decide to leave. Then the question is, well, now where am I going to go? And you think within yourselves, and you say, well, the preacher over at the Methodist church, he's a good man, kind of like him. And the members, there are many of those members, I know them, I've been in the community with them for years, there's many of those members over there, they're good community members. They're good fathers, they're good mothers, they're good employees, they're business owners, and so I think I'll just go down to the Methodist church, because there's good people over there. that what you're going to do? You say, no, I can't do that. Can't worship at the Methodist church. Why? There's a good man down there preaching, you say. Or someone says. I don't know if he is or not. Just the illustration. Well, he's a good man. They've got a few good members down there. Maybe many good members. Why can't you? Well, they teach faith-only doctrine. That's not what the Bible teaches. I've got to stand on God's side. I can't go somewhere where they're teaching faith-only doctrine. They worship in an unscriptural manner. They have an instrument of music in their worship. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the heart of the Lord, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. And so we learn about music and worship. I can't go down there. They have a one-man pastor system, and that one man may be a good man, but they have a one-man pastor system, and that is out of harmony with the Word of God, because we recognize that there were elders ordained in every city, Acts 14:23, among other places. And so there are a plurality of pastors, or elders, if you will, that oversee the church, not one man. Can't go down there. Why? Because of their platform. So where are you going to go? I'm going to have to go somewhere that stands on God's platform, teaches God's platform. Now back to the question. Now here's the question. How will you vote? Got those four choices, basically. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian. What policies, what agendas, what opinions, what laws will you promote? A platform is a statement of the principles and policies of a political party. In fact, Webster states a platform is a statement of the principles and policies, especially of a political party. Our policies, our principles for which we stand, those things we're going to seek to uphold and to push. Now, when you go through these platforms, and it takes a while, when you go through those platforms, you find that there's many things for which there is no biblical argument. So to God, they would be matters of indifference, matters of opinion. Here's one. This is from the Democratic Party platform, page 2. Democrats believe that climate change poses a real and urgent threat to our economy. There are signs. Science is divided over that idea. Science is divided over that idea, and so, therefore, is it opinion or is it science? Some argue for and some argue against. I can't argue biblically one position over another. That's just a matter of opinion. The Republicans, they say this. Republican Party platform, page 1. They claim more than any other public policy, the way government raises revenue. How much? At what rates? Under what circumstances, from whom, and for whom has the greatest impact on our economy's performance? That's an economic question. National economics, maybe international also. That's not a biblical question. That's a question for the economist. That's a matter of indifference to God. You remember in, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or no? Jesus says, show me a penny whose image and superscription hath it. They said to him, Caesar's. What did he say? Render therefore unto Caesar the things that be Caesar's. Render unto God the things that be God's. Luke 20, 24, and 25. And Romans 13 and verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to custom, to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So I don't have a biblical opinion or an argument for you for the fact that that thing has the greatest impact on our economy's performance. So it's a matter of opinion, one way or another. Your thought is as good as the next man's. Democrats, again, Democrat Party platform, page 2. Democrats are proud of rescuing the auto industry from collapse. You remember that, the bailouts, right? That GM and Chrysler took. Democrat and many, many banks. Democrats are proud of rescuing the auto industry from collapse, which saved more than 1 million jobs and led the auto industry, which is at the heart of American manufacturing, to record sales. Did it? I don't know that it led them to record sales. I know that every year they have the sale of the century. Buy now, 0% for 72 months, whatever it is. Every year they have the sale of the century. You just wait for next year and it'll be another sale of the century. And you get ready to buy again if you're not ready now. I got to just be patient. But I don't have a biblical argument for you there. So you choose what you want there, what you think is best. But there's some more thoughts. Really just four parties to consider. Only two have a chance at winning. Here's the questions we've got. What are the party platforms? Here I have two main issues. LGBT, that's homosexuals. What does all that stand for? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Abortion, and I've got three things listed there, and I know two isn't three. The last thing we'll talk about will be God. So maybe I ought to have three main issues there. But the first two are big issues. You'll see why in just a moment as we go forward. So what are the platforms? Here they are. I said I have to do some reading. This is copied from the Green Party. In keeping with the key values of diversity, social justice, and feminism, we support full legal and political equality for all persons, regardless of sex, gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity characteristics and expression. The Green Party affirms the rights of all individuals to freely choose intimate partners, regardless of their sex, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Doesn't take long in reading to know where they stand, does it? Furthermore, they say the Green Party recognizes the equal rights of persons who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, intersex. That's the first time I'd heard that. I don't know what that is. I guess you're somewhere in the middle. Transsexual, queer, transgender. Equal rights to what? Housing, jobs, civil marriage, medical benefits, child custody, and in all areas of life, including equal tax treatment. You believe that to be true? You believe you can have God in mind to cast a vote for people that feel that way? Then do so. And you'll have to answer for that in the judgment. If I choose to vote that way, I'll have to stand and answer for that in the judgment. Okay? That's the way the Green Party feel about that platform, LGBT. Well, what a libertarian platform on this. We hold that all individuals have the right to exercise sole dominion over their own lives. Well, that's true, yes. Read on. And have the right to live in whatever manner they choose, so long as they do not forcibly interfere with equal right of others to live in whatever manner they choose. They explain, that was page one, now on page two and three. Sexual orientation, preference, gender, or gender identity have no impact on government's treatment of individuals, such as in current marriage, child custody, adoption, immigration, or military service laws. Government does not have the authority to define, license, or restrict personal relationships. Consenting adults should be free to choose their own sexual practices and personal relationships. Government should neither deny nor abridge any individual's human right based upon sex, wealth, ethnicity, creed, age, national origin, personal habits, political preference, or sexual orientation. You think you can vote for, you like the other ideas that libertarians stand for? They do want limited government, by the way. You think you like that idea and you can stomach this? Believe you can stand before God and live peaceably after the night of November the 8th, sleep peaceably, having voted for libertarians, knowing they stand for this, then vote that way. Democratic Party platform. LGBT. We believe in protecting civil liberties and guaranteeing civil rights and voting rights, women's rights and workers' rights, LGBT rights, and civil rights for people with disabilities. So talking about protecting civil rights, is that a good thing? Yes, it is. Guaranteeing civil liberties and voting rights? Yes. But in the midst of that, look at where they stand. And notice whom they list. That's page 2. Page 18. Democrats will always fight to end discrimination on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, language, religion, gender, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity, or disability. So now there's more. If you didn't get it up here, notice what they're saying now. What does that mean? Sexual orientation, gender identity. And that plays back to what was told. We were told, what was it, last year, I guess, early this year, from President Obama, that we were going to have gender-neutral bathrooms in public places. They go on to say, it is unacceptable to target, defame, or exclude anyone because of their race, ethnicity, national origin, language, religion, gender, age, again, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. Now, here's something. As you read, and I hope maybe you did, and if you didn't, go look before November 8th. Same language. This was page 2. This is page 18. There's a whole section on this we're going to see in just a minute. Not just one mentioning, amongst other things. There's a whole section on this in page 19. We'll see that in a minute. It's repeated on page 26, 33, 38, 41. Now, this is out of 51 pages. On page 26, 33, 38, 41, 45. And if you didn't get it in the first section on 19, they repeat it at the end. What did they repeat? This is the first section, page 19. Guaranteeing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights. If you didn't know what LGBT, and I had to think about it, if you didn't know what LGBT meant, this is what it means. And this is where the Democratic Party, this is what the Democratic Party platform states. Democrats applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized that LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. But there is still much work to be done. LGBT kids continue to be bullied at school. Restaurants can refuse to serve transgender people. And same-sex couples are at risk of being evicted from their homes. That is unacceptable and must change. Democrats will fight for the continued development of sex discrimination law to cover LGBT people, and will fight for comprehensive federal non-discrimination protections for all LGBT Americans to guarantee equal rights in areas such as housing, employment, public accommodations, credit, jury service, education, and federal funding. We will oppose all state efforts to discriminate against LGBT individuals, including legislation that restricts the right to access public places. We will support a progressive vision of religious freedom. We will support a progressive vision of religious freedom that respects pluralism and rejects the misuse of religion to discriminate. We will combat LGBT youth homelessness and improve school climates. We will support LGBT elders, ensure access to necessary health care, and protect LGBT people from violence, including ending the crisis of violence against transgender Americans. We will also promote LGBT human rights and ensure American foreign policy is inclusive of LGBT people around the world. That's page 19. So as I said, if you did not hear that loud and clear, or somehow you, by the way, I hit the wrong thing. That's Democratic Party platform. If you didn't hear what they were saying on page 19, you read to the end, on page 46. If you misunderstood somehow, here it is again. Gay or lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Democrats believe, this is on page 46, and it's right here. You can find it on the computer. You could probably find it at the public library. Democrats believe that LGBT rights are human rights, and that American foreign policy should advance the ability of all persons to live with dignity, security, respect, regardless of who they are or who they love. We applaud President Obama's historic presidential memorandum on international initiatives to advance the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons, which combats criminalization, protects refugees, and provides foreign assistance. We will continue to stand with LGBT people around the world, including fighting efforts by any nation to infringe on LGBT rights or ignore abuse. So it's not something that, you know what, I kind of feel this way and I have this opinion and I'm going to keep that quiet. I'm not going to push that agenda. No, we're going to push that agenda in every corner of the United States. And beyond that, we're going to stand with LGBT people across the globe. Democratic Party platform. When we go to vote, don't we have to vote like Christians? When we go to vote, don't we have to have God in mind? Republican Party platform. I have it as well. When you read through the Republican Party platform, the LGBT community is not acknowledged. I might have missed it. You read it and find it. Show me where I'm wrong. They do address discrimination. They say, we denounce bigotry, racism, anti-Semitism, ethnic prejudice, and religious intolerance. Therefore, we oppose discrimination based on race, sex, religion, creed, disability, or national origin, and support statutes to end such discrimination. Now, inasmuch as the Republican Party platform does not mention the LGBT community, they do talk about family. Because when you think about LGBT and you're talking about the lesbians, you're talking about two women in a family. When you're talking about the gays, you're talking about two men, maybe, making up a family, or maybe they're just shacked up with one another. You have bisexuals, and maybe that's part of that mix, and you have transgender people where now maybe you do have a man and a woman, but the woman is the man and the man is the woman, if that makes any sense. But in the Republican Party platform, the family is mentioned. And here it is. I don't have the page there for you. I intended to fix that. Traditional marriage and family based on marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation for a free society and has for millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. That's on top of page 11. Traditional marriage and family, based on marriage between one man and one woman, is the foundation of a free society and has for millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. LGBT and Republican Party. The Green Party, we've seen. Libertarians and the Democrats make clear. They make clear their stance on LGBT. The Republicans make clear their stance on the family. The F-A-M-I-L-E-L-Y. What do they say? Well, we've seen one. Here's more. This is on, so in as much then as the others, they have sections on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. This platform has a section on marriage, family, and society. Page 31. Foremost among those institutions is the American family. It is the foundation of civil society. And the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman, page 31. They go on to acknowledge children raised in a two-parent household tend to be physically and emotionally healthier, more likely to do well in school, less likely to use drugs and alcohol. And by the way, if you wonder what that two-parent household mix would look like, they've already told you, this is also on page 31, prior to saying this about children raised in a two-parent household, they say union of one man and one woman. So that's defined. You don't have to wonder, well, maybe that means two women or two men. Children raised in a two-parent household tend to be physically and emotionally healthier, more likely to do well in school, less likely to use drugs and alcohol, engage in crime, or become pregnant outside of marriage, page 31. Moreover, marriage remains the greatest antidote to child poverty. The 40% of the children who now are born outside of marriage are five times more likely to live in poverty than youngsters born and raised by a mother and a father in the home. Nearly three-fourths, three-quarters, that's 75%, isn't it? Nearly three-fourths of the $450 billion government and that the government annually spends on welfare goes to single-parent households, page 31. So what do they want? They don't want just one individual. They're saying, you know what, it'd be best, even for the kiddos, if we had a mom and a daddy. One man, one woman. That's marriage. They go on to say, continued on page 31, the data and the facts lead to an inescapable conclusion. Every child deserves a married mom and dad. One side you have saying, and that is the other three, I suppose, saying, well, you know what? We've got these LGBT kids out there, and they're being bullied in school, and they don't have a bathroom which they feel comfortable in, and we need to do those things. And you have the Republican Party platform. They're saying, you know what? Every child really deserves a mama and a daddy, and beyond that, married mama and daddy, not just live-ins. They go on to say, our laws and our government's regulations should recognize. Our laws and our government's regulations should recognize marriage as the union of one man and one woman and actively promote married family life as the basis of a stable and prosperous society. What's going to do that? Human rights for everybody, no matter what you choose, whether it's moral or immoral. Or the family. I'm almost done. I thank you for your patience. They go on to say we oppose. Now I gave fair say to the others. Give them fair say to the last one. We oppose government discrimination against businesses or entities which decline to sell items or services to individuals for activities that go against their religious views about such activities. Now, the libertarians would probably agree with this. You can do what you want to do, they say, the libertarian. You do what you want to do as long as it doesn't bother me, and I'll do what I want to do as long as it doesn't bother you. So maybe they would agree with the idea that that bakery where they were, and they didn't want to do that marriage for that homosexual couple, and yet one side, our president administration, punished them for that. The Republican Party platform says we oppose government discrimination against businesses or entities which decline to sell items or services to individuals for activities that go against their religious views about such activities. So here you have it. Here's the banner. Yes? We honor LGBT. Who does? Green, Libertarian, Democrat. Here's the banner. We honor the family. The F-A-M-I-L-Y. Not the LGBT. Who does? Republican platform. When we vote, we ought to vote like Christians. When we vote, we better vote with God in mind. Else we're going to answer for that. So then every one of us just give account of himself to God, Romans 14 and verse 12. And I know we're past time. So when we come back on this same topic, this is where we're going to start. This isn't just about politics. I hadn't talked about the individuals for whom we're going to have to cast a vote. We've talked about principle. We've talked about platform. What does God say about LGBT and the family? I appreciate your attention. Will, I better stop. I guess we'll pick up there in a minute. Thank you for the encouragement.